fighting that time. Actually, I don't think they were fighters. I think they were more were trying to stay out of the fight.
Okay, well, I'll just have both of you introduce yourselves and tell me who you are, where you're from, and when and where you were born.
Yeah, I'm Jenny Smith. I'm from Lost Creek, West Virginia, and I was actually born in Virginia, but my family is originally from West Virginia, and we moved back here when I was 8 years old.
I'm Dee Coger Bright, and I was born in Sutton, West Virginia. I lived in Braxton and Webster County all growing up.
And why don't you tell me about your family and your background and who the Cogers were and how they're connected to all these other musicians?
Well, my family, as far back as I can remember, and I'm sure beyond that because I have records that say they were playing music back in the 1800s, and they've always been musicians and dancers, and how are they connected to the other families? Okay, we're connected to the Hammonds because the Hammonds married into the Coger family. We're connected to the Carpenters because the Carpenters married into the Coger family. We're connected to the McIlwains because the McIlwains married into the Coger family. We are. You want me to go farther?
Sure.
You want me to keep on going? We're connected to the O'Briens and the Parsons and all the good people in Calhoun County because they too married into the Coger family. And old Grandpappy was living right down there among them. Sometimes they didn't bother getting married. That's par for the course. But anyway, there's a lot of families that's connected to our family, and they've always been musicians. We're connected to the Wine family through the not necessarily through the Cogers as we are through the Conrads and the Williams coming down, who later intermarried with the Cogers. So that's how we're related to them. We're not directly related, we're not directly descended from the Wines, unless we go back to the first Wine that came to West Virginia and married into Rebecca Williams, then we may be connected there.
Is Coger your maiden name?
That is my maiden name.
So when you talk about your grandpappy, who was he?
My grandfather?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I had two Grandpa Cogers. one lived in Webster, one lived in Braxton County, of all things. And John James, and John that lived in Braxton, that was Webster, and John that lived in Braxton County was, I don't think he had a middle name, but he, and they were all musicians, every one of them. And they
what
were.
Did they play?
Fiddle and banjo.
Did you learn?
I did, but I never became a good musician like Jennings.
You learned both fiddle and banjo?
I did from my dad, yes.
What about songs?
Songs?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I learned more songs than I did band. I did better on songs than I did on the music instruments. I learned a lot of songs from my dad, yes.
And were they mostly ballads?
All
of
them.
Popular songs?
No, they were just, a lot of people played them.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of them, they were old songs like like they played even today, like, you know, Soldier's Joy and Rosin the Bow and, oh golly, so many of them, Cindy and the Whole Nine Yards all the way down. And then they had their own special songs they played like, Shaking Down the Acorns and that, you know, right now I can't even think of them.
That's okay. And did your mother play music or sing?
My mother did not play music. She sang and she told ghost stories.
Mm-hmm.
A ghost story?
I still have all the photos that I took of the notebooks.
Those weren't my mother's stories. Those were my dad's. My mother, my mother's part Native American, and she's very superstitious. And she knew about all the medicinal plants and what have you that grew, and things that we ate that grew on the ground and wild. And she was really, she could tell a ghost story and scare you out of your socks. You didn't want to go to bed. If you did, you better be sure you had a lot of people in the bed with you. You know, because she would tell a story in such a way that it would make you feel like you're there. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of scary, you know. And she'd tell us, you know, you better be good because you know they're all around you. And what is all around me? But, yeah, she told her, oh, right now I hate to think about all the ones she did tell. But
I just learned about this, is an old tradition of telling ghost stories on Christmas. Do you do that?
I don't remember because, you know, I came from a large family. You know, there's like 14 of us, you know, so I don't remember about telling ghost stories at Christmas time. But I know that we were taught that on Christmas Eve that if you go out to your barn at midnight, you will find animals kneeling in prayer. We learned that from my mother. Yeah, she, you know. She believed that.
Did you ever try to go
look? No, because we had black bears around and mountain lion, no.
And what was her name?
My mother's name? Mm-hmm. Her name was Chris Ann.
And last name?
Her last name was Frederick. Okay. And she was a part Native American, and she was a direct descendant from Chief Bull at Bulltown.
Did she identify with a certain tribe?
She did. I mean, she knew her ancestry, and she also knew, and she took pride in the fact that she was Native American, although she had a lot of, she was discriminated against a lot because she probably was the only one around it in the neighborhood, but the thing about it is, if anybody needed a midwife, if they needed somebody to come and dress the dead, if they needed somebody to come and sit with the ill people, my mother was always the one to go. She was that kind of person.
Did she pass on any of the medicinal knowledge to you?
Well, somewhat, but I was never... I grew up at a time when, you know, you just have to remember I'm a child of the 50s. And unfortunately, I've got, you know, we were kind of caught between rock and roll and old-time music and all the modern things that was taking place. And I think I was paying more attention to what was going on around me with the world with the young people than I was listening to my mother with these old wives' tales, which mm-hmm. is what we considered them. I wish not paid more attention, but yeah, she would take us along the creeks and we would pick, wild lettuce. She called it something, but I can't remember what it was now. And then we'd go pick mushrooms. And another thing we picked was Bradley's, which my father was scared to death of. What they called Bradley's.
What's Bradley's?
It's like a mushroom, only it grows, it's like a reddish color, orangish color with white. And my mother, in order to know whether it was poison or not, my mother would taste it. And my dad said one day she's gonna fall over dead. But she did. And we always had a big skillet of those things and none of us ever died from them. But my dad was always, he'd just say, well, we're going to have Bradley's for dinner tonight. And he said, we're going to say a prayer before we have our meal. And he was serious. But Mom knew what they were, and nobody ever got poisoned in our family. And neighbors always ask her to,
identify mushrooms.
And I know, but my mom was a brave soul. She
well,
was.
You know.
She did. She had learned that growing up. And her grandmother had taught her that, and she knew it. She's pretty sure of herself. I don't think she'd be wanting to murder 16 people. That's a lot of people.
So, Jenny, why don't you tell me a little bit about growing up and learning music and how you first got interested in playing?
Well, I'd always been interested in music because it was always around in the house. And even in Virginia, how I got interested in it was through clogging, because the Greengrass Cloggers had come to my elementary school. And I had a little paper from when I was in the first grade, you know, one of those papers where you have to write about what you want to be when you grow up. And mine was, when I grow up, I want to be a clogger. So, right before third grade started, we moved back to West Virginia. Well, we moved to Braxton County to our farm first. Yeah, because my grandma was sick, and that's the reason why we had come back here. But from there, that's how I was exposed to the music. I mean, like, other than, like, mm-hmm. records and stuff at home, because mom would play, like, a lot of old-timey records mm-hmm. when I was little. But that summer we moved back, she took me over to Sarah Singleton's house. And Sarah had wanted me to learn how to play the fiddle, but from what I remember, I was, like, more interested in dancing. And, like, whenever she would play something, I would, like, get up and dance. And she was like, no, sit down, I'm going to teach you this song. I was like, no, I want to dance now.
But you did learn some of her songs.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, the first few songs I learned was from her.
Sarah.
Yeah. I think the first one she taught me was like Polly Wally Doodle, but she taught me things like Soldier Joy and Cindy mm-hmm. Wildwood Flower, yeah.
And about how old was she at that point?
It was just not about what, a few months or a year before she died?
Yeah, I know it was a few years before she passed away, because I think she passed away the same year Walter Miller did.
Oh, okay. I was thinking, well, that's right, you played square dances with her too.
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
So eventually you did start to play
Well, actually, I first started playing dulcimer with her because I got into the dulcimer. And how I got into that is because I had gone down to Augusta and they had the Folk Arts for Kids program. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they did was get the kids into dulcimer. So I'd started off with dulcimer. So when I was really little, I started playing dulcimer for square dances with Sarah.
Okay. Did she play dulcimer at all?
No, she mainly played the fiddle there.
But she did play the dulcimer because of Blake. Sarah was a Blake. She and I are also connected. I'm part Blake. That's why I took her to Sarah's house.
And she was in Braxton County as well, right?
Yeah, she lived near our farm in Braxton County, just a few miles down the road from us, from our farm.
And then what was your next step from there?
From playing the dulcimer?
Mm-hmm. How did you get into fiddle and banjo?
Well, you started playing the washtub bass.
Yeah, I started playing the washtub bass too, because I started playing with Dave Morgan, who was a fiddler in Upshur County.
And he's also connected.
And you know Margot Blevins, right?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Oh, well, she worked for Augusta, and she's the one. She would always bring around a washtub bass.
Okay.
See, she has one of Dave Morgan's old basses. I have his original bass that he made in 1940. But yeah, I started playing square dances with him. And eventually, I wound up playing fiddle and banjo. But I started playing the fiddle first. Mm-hmm. And I just started messing with it, I guess. I stepped from like the dulcimer to the fiddle. And I had known a lot of like old-timey songs from being around and like going to the folk festival and things
and
like
singing
that.
Them.
Yeah.
And the car.
Yeah.
A lot easier if you have the melody in your head.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and plus Brandywine, which is Melvin's granddaughter, Melvin Wine's granddaughter, she was on my clogging team when I was little.
Okay.
So whenever like I'd be around Melvin, I'd play dulcimer with him. So I picked up like the melody of a lot of his songs on the dulcimer before I started playing the fiddle.
What was the name of the clogging team?
It was the Mountaineer Cloggers.
Okay.
Mountaineer State Club.
Yeah, Mountaineer State Club.
Well, the director of the, or the lady that's in charge of the square dancers, she's one that's got the illness. They had to disband because quite a few of them, but Jenny and Brandy still dance, yes.
And at what age did you do the first apprenticeship with Melvin?
I was a teenager. I think I was maybe 17 or so, 17 or 18.
Yeah, because you had done all the other apprenticeships first. You were Melvin's wife.
Yeah, Melvin was my third apprenticeship, I believe, because I had done one with Walter Miller, who played Dulcimer in Nicholas County, and I had also done one with Rock Garden, who is here in Lewis County.
Okay.
And then I did.
Was that Fiddle?
Yes, that was Fiddle.
And you did one with Ralph Roberts.
I did the apprenticeship with Ralph Roberts after.
And Melvin was the fourth then.
No, third.
Well, Melvin the third.
Yeah, I did the apprenticeship with Ralph Roberts after I did the apprenticeship with Melvin.
What was Melvin's style of teaching? Would he just play it and?
He would kind of just play it and then stop and tell you you're not doing it right.
Was he tough?
A little bit, but I've heard from his family that he was a lot tougher on them when they were trying to play the fiddle, especially Brandy. We were actually talking about it this spring. That he would get pretty mad if she didn't play something right. Yeah, he would bang me on the knee with his bow. Yeah, but there was a few things he could break down. There was this one little thing whenever he would play a stop chord or whatever, where he lifts up his finger. He would stop and make sure that he knew I would do that on the chords.
Okay.
And things like that. But a lot of the time he'd say I'd play a lot like Uncle Pat. And he didn't want me to play like Uncle Pat.
He said, you bow that thing like old Pat Coker.
Like your Uncle Pat.
Yeah. Pat Coker, yeah.
Her great uncle, yeah.
And so it was a bowing issue mostly? He thought it was a different style?
I guess Pat would do more circle movements. And you know how Melvin would, he would saw the fiddle. And he wouldn't actually tilt the bow, he would tilt his fiddle when he did it.
So is it he thought you were too risky with your bow hand?
I think so.
That's kind of, because I started playing an orchestra and that's kind of what they teach you. But a lot of old timers just do straight.
Yeah, because he saw the bow, bow across the table.
Yeah.
He didn't, he kept a pretty steady hand on that bow. Where Jenny kind of let it roam, which he called a sheep-tail wag.
I always call it circle bowing, so.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, old-time people had different, they always called it roaming, let your fiddle.
Roaming?
Your bow, he'd say, your bow is roaming, straighten up, kid.
And then banjo, how did you start playing that?
Banjo.
You got my banjo.
First, when I was 13, I wanted to play the banjo. So I had mom get me a banjo, but she got me one of those bluegrass ones.
Traded my banjo in for yours, which I didn't know what you want, so I got a bluegrass one with picks.
Yeah, and I didn't want to play that.
Because mine was a bluegrass banjo.
Oh, yours was too.
Had a resonator on the back. We have our grandpa's old banjo, but it needs to be fixed up.
Mm. Is that a mountain banjo or what?
My dad's is a mountain banjo.
Yeah. Where did he get that from, though?
He ordered it from Sears Roebuck in 1908. Paid $1 for it.
Mm. Wow. Is it one of the ones that has a wooden frame and a smaller head inside the frame, or?
It's a metal head, isn't it?
Metal head. Okay.
I think so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But it didn't have the skin.
It had the stars and the, half moon
on it,
pearl inlay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was nice for a dollar, I mean, really.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Yeah. And it sounded good when he played it, too.
Would he do claw hammer?
He did claw hammer, yeah.
Or
yeah.
Just claw hammer?
Yeah. yet. Well, he could pick. He could do three finger picking too, but he basically did claw hammer. Okay. Yeah. Right.
So you got the bluegrass banjo, and then did you just try to play it, or?
She did.
Well, I did try to play it. I didn't really have anybody to teach me like old time stuff. She wound up taking me to a bluegrass guy and learning how to
and
do
he
it.
Taught but her how to play too, didn't they? Well, and what did he say?
You taught him what he
said. You do not need to come back again because you knew more about that banjo than he did.
What he did is he had a music book, okay, yeah. With like I guess banjo tablature. And it was like, he was trying to teach me like rolls and stuff like that. And I didn't really want to learn that. And I was like skimming through the back of the book and they had like Cripple Creek or something in there. Well, I already grew up like listening to Cripple Creek and stuff like that. So I just like taught myself without doing the book. And I came back the next week and like Cripple Creek.
You're out. That's funny. He told you don't come back, right? That you didn't need him. He said he ought to be taking lessons from her.
That's funny. And then how did you transition to old time? You just taught yourself, or?
Well much
grew up with it.
Much after that, I didn't play banjo because I'd gotten in the fiddle, and hadn't really wanted to play bluegrass banjo in the first place. But then when I was around 20 years old, I went up to Augusta, and I took a class off of David O'Dell. For banjo, and then I started getting into clawhammer. Plus, I think I started playing square dances on the banjo like 2 weeks after that.
Wow. And David O'Dell basically learned from Frank George.
I think so, yeah.
Some others.
Yeah.
And were the square dances, have you always been going to the Weston dances regularly?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Close to 30 years, right, since they started.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were they always at the senior center?
Yeah.
Yeah. And they also had ones at the Irish.
Yeah, and
at Ireland.
She played with different bands.
Mm-hmm.
Like they would call her and ask her to come play with them, and they played. She played with a lot of the really old time, like Carl Davis, and she played with Floyd Gregory. Right. A lot of the old time musicians, Floyd Gregory's bluegrass, but he, what can I say? She played old time, he didn't care. And I forgot who all you did play with, but you played a lot of square dances with Sarah Singleton.
Yeah, we played Sarah and Dave Morgan.
And Dave Morgan, yes. She played all over the state literally with these different bands. That
were you in a set band or?
No, she played with Rock Gardens from the time she was little, right?
Yeah, I think when I was 11, I started playing the square dances with Rock, and that's who I was
and
still
play
square dances
with. And then you played that bluegrass band with Buckhannon and those cops.
Yeah, they're policemen?
They're called the enforcers, yeah, they were. They were all law enforcement officers, and she was their fiddler, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she traveled around with them.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, I can't help. And they always would have her play old time, like old Joe Clark and all those, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, just mainly the standards. Like, if I played like crooked tunes or something, they weren't.
No,
in
they
the
would throw you out.
Yeah.
But they played all over the place too, you know. Like I said, she's played with so many people that I cannot remember. But since she was little, she never had problems. And she was in their band, right? I mean, she did. She was part of the band, you know. And then you played with Betty Jo, and she was all country.
Mm-hmm. Who's Betty Jo?
Betty Jo Heater and the Country Gentlemen. They played places like down at Blacksville and down at Fairmont. What's that called? Where everybody's
where
dying.
Alan played.
She, what is that called there?
I can't think of it either.
But you know, they have all of these musicians come in, I know I remember Jim Ed Brown and Jimmy C. Newman and all these people would come in. And their band would open for these musicians, you know. And she played the fiddle for them. Nice. She played for a couple years with them, didn't you? Mm-hmm. And then she decided she won't play country anymore.
Yeah.
But they were traveling around, like going to Pennsylvania and different places. Oh, and you played with those guys from Ohio. Well, we used to go up to Ohio, and you played with them up there.
Are you talking about Jim and Dave?
Jim and Dave, yes. Yeah.
Well, I still play with Jim Tucker every once in a while.
Yeah.
He's in Ohio.
No, okay. He's in Braxton County.
Okay, got it.
But Dave's in Ohio.
Okay. And were you also still keeping up with dancing? Mm-hmm. So you were still in the Mountain Ear Clappers?
Yeah. She was never home. I don't know how she got to college or high school. Everybody knew her. Everywhere you go, they knew who she was. It was like, my God, is she somebody important? Who are they talking about? Is that Jenny Smith?
So now, who do you play with mostly, and where and when do you play?
Well, I mainly still play over at the Senior Center with Rock Garden, and Grafton Wine plays there.
And also you played with Ralph Roberts.
I still play with Ralph Roberts. And
so is that the regular band at the Weston Dance?
Oh, well, Ralph isn't.
Okay.
It's mainly just me, Rock, Grafton, and Mark Crabtree's been going there past few years too.
And Bob Snyder.
Yeah, Bob Snyder.
And Doyle
Gillum.
Doyle Gillum.
Yes.
He's square dance caller, yeah. And but he doesn't play. His grandson does now. He's starting to play.
Is it just Doyle who calls, or do people do some other
things? No, Mark Crabtree calls, and so does his grandson. He's a freshman at WVU this year, and he's square dance caller. I think he'll be all right once he gets a little bit of practice under his belt and gets, a little bit louder, because he's still not really gotten them.
And whenever Dave comes, he...
And Dave Russell.
Yeah, Dave Russell. We used to have several more callers, but...
They died.
Yeah.
I think Mark seems worried that dance is not going to happen, or it's on its way out. Do you think
square
that's
dancing?
True? Yeah, well, the Weston dance.
Well, it's because Clara is ill. She's got less than a year to live if she has that much, but they need to designate somebody else who is willing to. I believe if they would ask Rock Garden, he would probably be willing. What they just need is somebody to come in and open the building, supervise the building, and close the building when they leave.
Mm-hmm.
And Rock is he's a well-known realtor there in town, and I believe he could do it, don't you? But you have to realize a lot of these dancers are old, and they're passing away, or they get medical problems and they can't dance.
Mm-hmm.
There's two ladies that come there I'd love to see you interview.
Mm-hmm.
They are 100 years old.
Wow.
Well, one of them is, the other one's 105. And they have their mental faculties.
Wow. And what are their names?
What is Mrs. Rex Rhodes' name? Now, her son Ed is a musician,
Ed
Rex Rhodes,
okay.
And they live in Lewis County up in Vandalia, I believe. He said he lived there. And then the other one, I don't know her name. She's Patty Gillum's mother.
Okay.
And they live in Upshur County.
Okay.
But she plants a garden and everything.
Wow.
But
That's the 105-year-old?
No. Mrs. Rexford's 105-year-old. Mrs. Gillum is 100. What I was going to say is these ladies have been at square dances all their lives. They were square dancers. And Marlena Russell is like, I think, 86 or 88. She's been dancing all her life. Her husband was a square dance fiddler.
Okay.
So you're kind of getting, some... history there.
Yeah.
And I think it would be great. And they're passing it on, their children and their grandchildren, Doyle and Patty. They come to the square dances and they dance.
Wow.
So,
yeah, well, I'd love to talk to them.
They're not, unfortunately, I can't figure out if they're related to me or not.
Might as well be.
I've never done their genealogy. I had Rock Garden toy teasing me. He said, "Do you ever find out if I'm related to you?" And I said, "I'll never tell."
And you also play at Jackson's Mill.
Yes.
What about other festivals?
I've played at Vandalia, Jackson's Mill, the Glenville Folk Festival. I've been up to Whirly Gardener Festival.
Okay.
And what's some other ones?
Ohio. Those places in Ohio.
Yeah, at Hale Farm. That's the name of.
Okay.
I don't know. You've played up in Braxton County and different things up there.
There's always stuff going on in Braxton County. Yeah,
I know, but you have
the 4th of July thing. I play a lot of family reunions.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Gasway Days.
You played Webster Springs. And
was it the Braxton County Fair?
Yeah, you played Braxton County.
Yeah.
Not you and Grafton, you and Roy. Yeah.
No, I think me and Grafton played it. Something like that. I know I played at a mule show with Roy.
That was Roy.
Or they were like selling mules or whatever.
No, they were, they might have been, I don't know. It was a big time thing with the mules. Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever, so I know you said you didn't like contests. You don't compete in the Glenville contest.
No.
She did one time, unfortunately. She fuss about that. Do you tell her about it?
No, and I'm not going to.
What?
I'll tell her.
No.
You don't have to. You don't have to.
But
don't tell her. It'll make her mad.
Okay.
What's your take on something like Clifftop? Have you ever been?
No, we've never been down there. I know Ralph and Charlie goes down there. They go down there like a week ahead of time and camp down there.
Don't tell
her
why you don't go
there. Well, isn't it difficult for you to?
No, I could go to Clifftop. You are always teach at West Virginia Wesley, and the weekend
is that the weekend?
Yes.
Yes. So you're always teaching clogging?
Well, they have the state clogging convention.
That
weekend. Yeah, I've taught there.
Yeah, you've never been able to go Clifftop. It's the same week.
That's too bad.
I know. But
Well, I mean, a lot of those places we can't go to now, like Vandalia, because we have to park so far away. I know she wouldn't be able to get around.
Right.
Well, we were going to drive one time down to Clifftop. We were going to go to Grafton until I found out Pat said don't ride with him because he'll scare you out of your mind.
He's a bad driver?
Pat says
driver.
He flies.
Yeah, he drives fast, yeah.
That's his wife. I figure, hey, she'd want to know. I'm not going. But, you know, we didn't go.
So you teach at the Wesleyan. There's a clogging convention. Do you do other? I think you were saying you have a clogging group with younger kids. Is that true?
Yeah.
Or you wanted to?
Yeah, I was teaching younger kids for a while, but I've gone back to teaching workshops and things like that. The thing at Wesleyan, that's the West Virginia State Square Dance round dance and clogging convention, but they do the Western style square dancing where it's like choreographed.
Right, right. Yeah, that's the group that has the license plates. The square dancing.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but mostly Western. Is there still a big group that does Western square dancing here?
Not so much, actually. Even that's kind of dying out a bit. Like when I started going there when I was little, I think it was like. It was several thousand people would attend the state square dance convention, but I know whenever I went and taught there this past summer, they were thinking about canceling it for next year, but they had a board meeting and they're going to have it, because things with dancing, even if it's like the choreographed like Western style, it's...
Right.
You know what's killing the music and the square dancing is the cell phones and the computers with the younger people. They just don't want to go out and do anything unless, and some people were bringing like their cell phones to the square dance, and Clara, she just said, you know, no way. And what she did is she went in, she had the internet turned off after 4 o'clock. And some of them really got upset, didn't they?
Well, I've had that problem teaching that, not with young kids, but with their parents and stuff that come in and want to learn how to clog, that I'll be teaching and they'll stand there on the floor with their cell phones while I'm trying to teach them.
Oh.
So.
And it's not like they're recording it, they're just like...
No, they're texting while...
That's terrible. Yeah, some places I've seen you put it in the basket. but yeah, that's too bad.
Well, I think that's been the primary reason that they're, you know, that it's dying out is because of the lack of attention. If the schools would start a program, I mean, we would love to see the schools start a program where, when I was growing up, each day at lunchtime, we would go to the gym and dance, and we square danced.
Yeah.
And today they don't even think about that.
Yeah. So was that part of your recess?
No, that was high school.
Oh, so it was like a gym class.
It was lunchtime, but we would rather go and we rather than eat, or we would eat, you just gobble our food down and go to the gym because we wanted to dance.
Well, you know. Even when I was in high school at my junior prom, we started a square dance at the prom, but that was back in the 90s, so. Well, in the 90s, even around here, like, I think old-time music was, like, more popular because a lot of, like, the bands at that time, like the grunge bands, they kind of put it in the mainstream. Like,
yeah.
I've actually talked to people about this before, but, you know, like, how Kurt Cobain sang In the Pines.
Right.
Yeah, and there was a band, Green Jello, I don't know if you ever heard of them, but they did the song where... you darn fool, can't you plainly see, it's nothing but a cabbage head my grandma sent to me.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
All these like popular bands back in the 90s that were singing like grunge and metal could slip like some like kind of old time stuff in there.
Oh, that's cool.
So the kids were more into it.
Mm-hmm. I've never made that connection before. Even the style too, I guess.
Yeah.
Back in the 70s and 60s, Jerry Garcia was doing,
right?
You
yeah.
know, old time
yeah.
of bluegrass.
Yep.
So, yeah.
And at the prom, did you guys bring instruments and play or what?
No, we just started on the floor. Actually, Rick Kay and the Old Miners was playing 50s music, and we were like, let's just start a square dance because, well, there was people just sitting around, and I guess a lot of them.
They didn't know
how to dance to other types of music, but everyone knew how to square dance, so we just kind of got up there and started a square dance.
Did you call, or people just knew?
Well, I kind of called.
That's funny.
I think we did like grapevine twists and just like fun stuff.
Uh-huh.
That's
one of my favorites. That's cool. I do think there's a revival, but it's not within the communities. It's young people from outside the state or who have moved to the state, but I don't see it happening as much in the communities themselves, which is too bad. But what about 4-H and Jackson Mill?
They like to square dance. You play square dances for them, you and Rock.
Yeah,
they like
down
that.
There. Yeah.
Seems like maybe 4-H is the first step with kids.
If they just could, because kids really do like 4-H.
Yeah.
I belonged to 4-H when I was growing up, and they're pretty enthusiastic about it if they could just get somebody to.
Right.
And I noticed this year that Rock would go over to the schools periodically and play. Some old time music for the kids. So
do you mostly still play with people older than you? Are there people around your age that you play with or that you see like this is the next generation?
Not so much. That's why we've been trying to get Randy into it. And with his folk music class he was taking at Fairmont, they were playing dulcimer. So, and he played dulcimer at home before that. Yeah, and he plays Ouachita bass too. So, I mean, that's like how I got my start. I was like a lot younger when I started doing that, but at least it's something, you know.
Mm-hmm. And he's 18 or 19?
Yeah, he's 19 now.
Yeah. If we could just, there is a couple kids that come square dance. Once again, she's Park Coker, but she plays a fiddle, and she's learning. But she's a little, I think she has.
You mean Kiara?
Yeah, attention deficit disorder, I think. But she's, you know, she plays, you know, the fiddle pretty good. She's even been playing out in different, she played for somebody's wedding ball, right? Mm-hmm. And, but she's not really too much into old time, mm-hmm. I noticed, right?
Mm-hmm. And then more into bluegrass, or?
Well.
Yeah, like bluegrass and country and stuff.
Yeah.
When I'm at the square dances, me and Grafton will play Melvin's song, so hopefully she'll start picking up
mm-hmm.
from
she's
us.
She's trying, I think.
Yeah.
So, and then David Gillum, mm-hmm. he's good. I think he'll be a good old-time fiddler, but he's more interested in square dance fiddling, right,
mm-hmm. yeah.
than anything else. So, and he's Randy's age. They're both 19.
Would you consider ever doing, like, being in a apprenticeship as a master artist?
Yeah.
As the younger person is interested.
Yeah, if they were interested.
And I have
fun though.
Yeah.
I have wished that we had our thinking cap on, because I think we need to get these younger kids into square dance calling, and Clara has encouraged Randy, right,
mm-hmm.
to do square dance calling.
Mm-hmm.
And also to play the dulcimer. Randy's problem is he's left-handed.
Uh-huh.
And it's difficult for him because the only left-handed musician passed away.
Right.
And it's difficult for him. Now, he can handle the dulcimer really
mm-hmm.
well. And she used to play the dulcimer for square dances, didn't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that used to be more common.
I think he could easily, we should have had him apply for apprenticeship
yeah.
in calling or
mm-hmm.
as a
well,
dulcimer.
It'll come around, I think it's going to be every other year, it'll be 2019, just because of how we can get the grant money for it.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that would be great. Or maybe some of the kids you mentioned who are coming to dance, square dance.
Yeah. I told the kids, I said, you know, if I was 20 years younger, I'd be down here in Randy's folk lore classes
right.
with him.
Well,
because
the problem is once you try to get kids into old-time music, they want to get into bluegrass and country. See,
yeah.
like, the thing with me, like, playing bluegrass with, like, bluegrass bands and country bands, that's
mm-hmm.
the only way you can make money
right.
at music around here. Yeah.
That's the primary reason you played with
Yeah, that's
them.
The only
yeah.
reason I played in a country band
that's
for
true,
a while. Yeah,
because she got paid. Sometimes she's gotten $100 for a night of playing, right?
Yeah, they're doing like $100 an hour.
For a weekend of playing.
And
know?
Where would you be playing?
Different places. Different
they
places.
Need to be booking old time bands.
Well, we played at that Skidmore.
And the Days Inn up at Flatwoods?
Yeah, and, I got,
okay.
and we got $400 a piece playing
Ooh,
up there.
That's good.
Yeah.
And different places, really, you've gotten paid well.
What it is
oh, you played at Fairmont University there.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say, I don't know if it's like people nowadays, if they just think bluegrass and country is more entertaining because they tend to sing and play music at the same
yeah.
time. The old time music, a lot of it, the people would sing separately from
yeah.
playing music. So it's like instrumentals. And if they wanted to sing a ballad or sing a hymn or something.
Mm-hmm.
And people like Grafton, they still do that. Like, they won't sing while music's being played. They
mm-hmm.
want to sing a cappella.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe they, because they see it on TV, and it's popular, and they can see a path.
Right. I happen to think about that place, Fairmont Sagebrush Roundup.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
She's played there several times, yeah.
Yeah, Grafton is a really good singer.
Yes.
He
isn't well, though. He's
really?
Like Grafton's up in his 80s, and and he's having medical problems, and he's fighting it, though. He's a fighter, you know. I mean, he's not giving in to it, but good Lord, well, strong wind came along, blow him away, wasn't it? He's so thin.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, he loves to play with Jenny and play his dad's old songs, mm-hmm. you know, which she likes to play, because last thing Melvin said to her is that, he wanted her to carry on his old-time music, and he didn't. Mm-hmm. He let her know it, too, right, Jenny? And he said to her, Jenny, you are my legacy.
Wow.
So,
what do you do for work?
What do I do for
two
work?
Kids on the computer.
Yeah, well, just like this past semester or whatever, mm-hmm. I was like tutoring some college kids in calculus.
Oh.
Yeah, she can't. Well, I'm by myself. My doctor isn't. I don't know. Some days I'm going to throw rocks at him. He told her, don't leave your mama land, because you know back in the summer, you know, remember I
yeah,
fell
yeah, right.
And I got hurt really yeah. badly, and after that he's pointing his finger and say, don't leave your mother alone. I wasn't alone.
So
when
been
I
caregiving.
Huh?
So she's been caregiving.
She has been
yeah.
and she takes me to my doctor's appointments and what have you, and it's kind of difficult to get a job and do this, you know,
right.
be torn
yeah.
between
well,
trying
mean,
to take care of somebody.
Job.
And I said to her, you know, if you want to do something, you go do it. Don't worry about it, that doctor, because I said, I was walking with Randy when I fell. What?
I said, I don't want to leave you alone.
I'm okay.
Were you a math major in college?
Mm-hmm. Do you think that contributes to how you think about music and learn music?
I think so, because all math is, it's patterns, and
right.
if you think about it, so is music.
Mm-hmm.
So.
My brain doesn't work that way. I can, you know, learn stuff by ear pretty well, but not in a mathematical way.
No.
That's cool. I have a friend, my friend's, you know, oh, I think I mentioned this last time, the Dawsons, their farm in Lost Creek.
Yeah. Oh, the Dawsons,
yeah.
Yeah, so my friend Amy, that was her grandparents' farm, and she and her boyfriend Mike live there now. So I go to Lost Creek quite a bit.
Oh, okay.
I'm actually going to stay there tonight.
Where in Lost Creek do they live?
I think it's like off of Lost Creek Branch. If you go through town, and then you kind of like go past the creek and the playground, and you go down
like you were going to go by the brick church down that way.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, toward Mount Clare.
No,
sure.
No, it's like the back way we go to Clarksburg, I think she means.
That's probably right. You go, there's that building that has all the lights, but it's kind of empty, like right downtown.
Yeah.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's on your right, and you take that road straight through, and you kind of wind around, and then there's the street, or the road is called Lost Creek Branch.
Oh, that is, you go
right
down to, up by the church, there's a church up there, and you turn left, is that what you do?
No, there's a church on the left that you go by, but.
Oh, then you're on the Johnstown Road.
I don't know. It's just, anyway, I'll draw a map for you sometime, but.
Somebody asked me, we were talking about, we had neighbors named Dawson
okay.
that lived beside of us in Springfield, Virginia.
Uh-huh.
And I know they were from this area
okay.
or down in Harrison County.
Yeah, well, maybe they're.
They
the
may be
one.
Related to them.
Yeah, a bunch of cows.
Everybody up through there
I
has
know.
Cattle.
I know, all of their neighbors do.
Yeah.
I went to a town meeting in Lost Creek one time, and the people were all like fighting about cows. That's what the. Like the city council meeting.
Oh, yeah.
She came back and she said, I can't believe that. They're fighting about cows.
Yeah, they're flipping out and cussing each other out. And some guy got up there and it was like, from now on, can we declare a prayer before these meetings? Because I think we need one.
Yeah, the cat, there's always like a neighbor's cat last time, and they were so excited because Mike is a banjo player.
What kind of banjo play?
He plays old time banjo.
Does he?
Yeah.
Why do we not know him?
I don't know. Mike Costello.
Costello?
Yeah. He grew up in Charleston, or Elk View, outside of Charleston.
Who does he play with?
Oh, do you know, like Josh Wayne Street, or?
Do they have a band?
It's all like people my age.
Do they have a band?
They did have a band. I'm trying to remember the name of it. Oh, it was the Hell for Certain String Band, named after a river, I think. The Hell for Certain.
I never heard of them. Have you? I thought we knew. We know the Vaughns, and we know the Davisons, and we know everybody, literally. You know, we had a lot of old banjo players around there. Earl.
These guys are young, though.
No, I mean, but Lost Creek's, has had Bud Bennett, and then Earl Alcar, mm-hmm. Frog's Bad, and yeah, there's a lot of
Frog's the mayor of Lost
Creek. Frog is the mayor?
No, we don't know how he got the name Frog, but everybody calls him Frog, don't they? I think his name's Eugene, but I'm not sure. But yeah.
And how did you end up in Lost Creek?
My husband's grandparents lived outside of Lost Creek, and he spent most of his childhood off and on with them, in the summer, mm-hmm. because their youngest son, his uncle, was my husband's age. So they were good buddies, and he liked Lost Creek real well, mm-hmm. and he decided to, when we retired, he decided we'd like to live in Lost Creek, mm-hmm. so that's why we ended up there, and found out half Lost Creek's my relatives, and they're Cougars. I'm not joking, they are.
I think a lot of it has to do with Lost Creek was a little more closer to civilization than Braxton County.
Mm-hmm.
You still think it's civilized?
Well, you know what I mean.
You can get on the highway.
That's what you mean.
Well, like with dancing and stuff like that.
We have a farm that's like, 19 miles from?
Yeah, from a
Interstate 79. Yeah.
Well, isn't it like 14 miles before a paved road? So.
That's harder to get places.
Yeah,
I'm trying to remember what else we talked about. It's a totally different interview, but that's fine.
I just want to be different because I don't remember anything we talked about.
That's what I said. I don't remember what we talked about. But
Mike and Amy were supposed to come to the dance, to meet me at the dance. So next time
did you tell them?
Yeah. But next time when I do come, hopefully
we have a neighbor that she periodically comes, that lives there in Lost Creek. She periodically comes to the, square dances, mm-hmm. and what have you. They don't play music, though, but she's a dancer, she and her family, right? Mm-hmm.
Mike calls a little bit, too.
Does he?
Yeah, you all have to meet.
I'm surprised we haven't, because we've known a lot of people.
Does he play up around like Morgantown area?
Yeah, and they were, before they moved to the farm, they were living in Elkins.
Mike Costello. Does he play a guitar too?
He plays some guitar, yeah.
Maybe I'm thinking the wrong person. What? Okay, remember Bob took us to this guy's house? And his name was Costello, I think was his last name. What was his first name?
I don't remember.
Remember we went, Bob took us there that night?
Mm-hmm. You mean Bob Linder?
Mm-hmm. You forgot about Bob. You forgot about Bob and Guy. She used to do fairs they used to do fairs down them at Monongalia County.
What was that one guy that played with us at the Monongalia County Fair?
Chuck. Chuck Knight.
Yeah.
Same guy.
You want to tell her about
no,
Chuck Knight?
No, tell her. You go ahead and tell her.
No.
I was just an observer.
We went and played at the Monongalia County Fair. I played fiddle up there, and Bob Linger played banjo, and Guy Howard played guitar.
And Guy Howard sang.
Yeah.
And he did rock and roll, though.
Well, tell, what about Chuck?
And country. Yeah, what Chuck. About? Chuck did country.
Yeah, but what happened with Chuck? Are you not?
No, you tell her.
Well, anyways, on the way up there, Chuck got drunk.
He was drinking when they put him in the car. He got in the car, whatever.
Didn't he like try to get in a fight on the way up, or was it on the way back with them?
He was bickering with the other guys.
Well, anyways, he was drunk and he was carrying on stage.
He wasn't totally drunk, but he kept drinking.
Yeah, but like people loved it though. A bunch of bikers showed up there. Uh-huh. They loved it because he was carrying on stage. Anyways, he gets out there. I guess on the way back, because I was in the car with Mom, and they were in a separate car, Bob, Guy, and Chuck. And apparently, I guess Chuck tried to strangle.
Oh my gosh.
Both of them or something. While I guess who was it, Bob or Guy that was driving?
I don't remember, but Jenny said she'd never go back there with him again. And he's one of the best singers you'd ever want to hear. He could sing country music.
Wow.
And everybody loved him. But he wasn't a member, part of the group. He was a friend of one of the guys, right?
Well, Bob who took us out to where Chuck lived. Because remember the first time we met him, it was in the middle of a thunderstorm. It was out in the middle of nowhere. It was up on a hill. And he lived in this tiny camper, and we get there. I'm pretty sure he was drunk then too, but he was wearing like an Anton LaVey shirt. You know who Anton LaVey was? I don't think so.
He was like the founder, I think, of like the Church of Satan or something. But he was wearing this shirt, and then he starts like singing like these country songs, like old like Waylon Jennings songs or something, mm-hmm. wearing like this satanic like.
Yeah, he was.
And
where is he? Monongalia County?
No, Upshur County.
Yeah, he was in Upshur County. Yeah,
or Barber County. Yeah. And wasn't he? That one guy was from New York. The one that kept saying you should be in New York or playing or something.
Which one was that?
I don't know. It's one of the guys was playing or singing.
I don't know. A lot of these times, we kind of have a set group when I go out to these things, and we just pick up like other musicians on the way.
Yeah.
So
your friends would pick them up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We didn't know till you got there who was going to be there.
Yeah.
Or what they'd be singing. I told them to start carrying a sawed-off shotgun. If I see somebody that was acting inappropriately, I was going to aim it at them. Maybe they'd behave.
Or just a frying pan like that.
Yeah, I need a frying pan. You know. They were good people, but they were just, I think they just liked to hit the bottle.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't into drugs so much, at least not in front of us, right, or in front of you, because she was still, you know, young.
Mm-hmm.
And I told her, you do not go any place unless I go to see what's going on.
Yeah.
Because you are not, you know, we don't know a lot of these people.
Right.
They're dragging around.
So
I didn't worry when she played with the enforcers because I figured they'd make her behave. But some of those guys, you know, those musicians, we need a guitar player tonight. Let's get this guy, you know.
Right,
and we
right,
didn't
yeah.
know some that guy, like she's talking about. We had no idea that they were going to show up at the fair with this guy. I was pretty embarrassed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think Jenny was too, but she was too busy laughing her full head off, you know.
Right.
But he has a cousin who's well known around the Weston area, Howard Knight and the Knight Riders, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're a good band,
they're cool.
But they're country,
uh-huh.
You know.
Yeah.
But this guy, man, he could sing. But they told us that he's going to California, and I said, good.
Well, we have, I think, 5-7 minutes before the library closes, so we should probably wrap it up. But is there anything else you want to add? We could do a whole other interview sometime, I'm sure. Keep talking.
Probably erase this one.
I think we'll talk more about anything else than like old time music, actually.
Yeah.
But you know, we were talking about old time music. I found a will. It was written in 1700s in Ireland. And one of our ancestors, the only thing he owned was a fiddle.
Mm-hmm.
And he wanted it buried with him. He was our McIlwain ancestor.
Okay.
And I thought that's really something.
Right, yeah.
You know.
I think that you know, fiddle, so there's a Hammond's family photo that Jerry Mills writes about in Play the Fiddle. And it's three brothers, and one is holding the fiddle, one is holding the gun.
Oh, yeah, that was Pete. That was Pete with the fiddle, okay.
And you know, the three prized possessions.
Right.
Well,
that's a Hammond's, but then we're, you know, talking about McIlwain. Not a whole lot's known about McIlwain's other than Jack McIlwain was a son of Andrew Lewis McIlwain.
Okay.
And he was a son of Tunis McIlwain and Catherine Props. Tunis McIlwain was a brother to my ancestor, Mary McIlwain Coger, married my ancestor, Peter Coger. And that is how we are connected to the McIlwains. Of course, over the years, they probably intermarried with different,
mm-hmm.
you know, members of the family because people have a tendency to you know, do that. I guess that's why they have so many idiots in the family.
Is McIlwain a Scottish name?
It's got Irish.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, hopefully I can make it to a dance. Maybe the week after next.
Yeah, I think after the first of the year, they'll get back into going every Tuesday unless something drastically happens. Claire, she's going to have some major surgery, and then she's going to have go through chemo and what have you, radiation.
Yeah.
But I think they can make arrangements to have somebody, hopefully,
yeah,
because
so.
I understand Mark would be worried because Jenny and I have talked about it, and we were worried, weren't we?
Mm-hmm.
We were concerned because...
Mm-hmm.
It's been probably the longest steady
mm-hmm.
square dance
yeah.
group in the state.
Right.
I mean, they've...
They do the old-timey where the caller dances while
right.
they call.
Yeah,
okay.
The caller dances. Now, one of the old-time square dance callers is Jim Markley, and his wife was... She was a Coger. her mother was a Coger. She's cousin of my dad. But anyway, Jim was one of the old-time callers,
mm-hmm.
and he's pretty sick right now. He's in his 80s, and
mm-hmm.
he's probably going to be the last of the really old-time callers around, right? Because
yeah, well.
they've really gone by the wayside.
Yeah.
I'd say Doyle Gillum's probably the oldest left that I know about. And
what about Lou? Do you know Lou Mayer?
Unfortunately, yes.
We don't have to get into it.
I won't say anything more. That's
yeah,
enough.
Whenever he called for us, he like brought moonshine to the dance. So yeah, we know.
Okay. Bill
Osi.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Osi. O-H-S-E.
We don't know him. He's not Braxton County.
No, he's not Braxton County. I'm trying to remember where he is, but we're getting. Sorry, we'll pack up.
Okay, we're closing.
Yep.
We can stay.
All right. Well, thank you both.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah. I think it would be great if you could talk to those old ladies before they pass away.
Yeah.
I would love to go and interview Mrs. Rexroad for the simple reason my husband's family are intermarried with Rex Rhodes, and I think she may be out of his, she probably would have been his second or third great aunt. She was a Phillips,
okay.
And she married a Rex Rhodes. And they live in the same area up around Vandalia that she lives in, and I'm thinking she probably could be related to his family. That's not my family, that's my husband's family. That's another thing. My husband's mother was a square dance caller in Webster County.
Yeah, I think we talked about that last
time. Yeah.
Oh, you've already got that?
No, we talked about it last time. But
oh, yeah, she calls square dances, and she's even gone square dances with us, hasn't she?
Mm-hmm. She's passed away now. She passed away when she was 98 years old.
Wow. Yeah, well, if you wanted to interview Mrs. Rex Rhodes, is that right? I could record it if you wanted to, or you could ask some questions, and I could ask questions, because you know her, you might know.
Well, I know Ed more than I know her, right? Mm-hmm. We know, Ed, because Jenny's played with Ed quite a few times.
Yeah, he's played at our square dances before.
Okay.
Yeah, and you've played with him and Jim places, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we better pack up so we don't
We don't want to keep the ladies.
Thank you guys.
We may want to come back someday.
Yeah, I